This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Studios live from Radio Row in New Orleans. You're rolling with the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Throw up the X. Here we go. It's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. As Zach Wolchuk shouting out 88 Dez Bryant, who's making his way, bouncing his way through Radio Row. Told him to throw up the X. Looks like he's the man, dude. He's got a big old crowd around him. Dez Bryant. We're off and running here. Day four of the G-Bag Nation Radio Row in New Orleans. It's brought to you by Stella Artois and the Low T Center. And I don't know if we're going to get Dez today. He's cruising around. We'll try to snag him. Not on the schedule currently, but holy cow, he's one of the few people that isn't, guys.
I actually talked with his representative, somebody, and I got the schedule. I don't think he's going to have time, but they did say they'd try and bring him over.
Right on.
So who knows? Maybe we'll be sitting down with Emmett, and we'll get Dez, and then my two favorite Cowboys of all time at the same time. This would be, hey, I can retire a happy man.
That would be incredible, and it would add to, just a star-studded guest list. We do have Emmett Smith coming up at 2:40. You looking forward to that, Brian?
I am.
Emmett, well.
Yeah, he kicked my ass a bunch, so, yeah, why not relive some of that? Matter of fact, his daughter at Greenhill was Bennett's cheer buddy. So okay. When Bennett was football, she was a cheer buddy. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to catch up with how Skyler's doing. Really a good family, though, and, look forward to visit with him.
I mean, just kind of going through his highlights and reviewing his career today, it's just incredible what that guy did.
Man, they talk about an era of running backs, the workhorse back, the back that kid, that never came off the field. You know, Emmett Smith was that type of player, the toughness he played with at Florida. You know, had the draft process. Was he fast enough? Is he quick enough? Was he explosive enough? All the metrics were kind of against him.
He was the 50th ranked running back out of high school.
Yeah, but I think he was
yep, Pensacola High.
Pensacola. And, yeah, I just remember, like, when you watched him on tape, every time they tossed him the ball at Florida, it was like a touchdown. And you're thinking, wait, you're telling me this guy can't run. You're telling me he's not fast enough. You're telling me he defied a lot of things, the way that he played, the low center of gravity, the way he bounced off tackles. If they kept the stat for missed tackles, that he would be top shelf and all that.
He had one run. I think it was a Monday night game against Atlanta. It's one of the best runs that you'll ever see. He basically has the entire Falcons defense collapsing on him, and somehow he's just able to roll off all of them, bounce free, go score a touchdown. I'll argue with anybody. I think he's the greatest of all time. I know the offensive line he played behind. That dude was churning out 1,000-yard seasons late in his career behind hot doo-doo. Like, bless Ross Tucker.
Oh, no.
That's who was blocking for Emmett Smith.
Well, you can
right?
thank
so
me for that.
That is one of the biggest things that I don't agree with. Like, I get it. Yeah, you played with great players. You played with other Hall of Famers. But when the game was on the line, they handed the ball to 22,
yeah,
and he would always deliver.
What's your favorite Emmitt game? Is it the collarbone or separated shoulder?
Yeah. Game's pretty legendary. It absolutely is. But I think it's the second Super Bowl, Super Bowl 28 in Atlanta, where at halftime they're down to Buffalo. And, you know, I've heard the story a million times. Jimmy's like, we're coming out, we're running the football.
Yeah.
Like, we are giving the ball to Emmitt Smith.
They can do that.
And they did. Yep. And what did they do? They handed off Emmitt for 5, Emmitt for 3, Emmitt for 9, Emmitt for 12. Yeah. And then he goes ahead and they score a touchdown on the drive. And that was all she wrote, back-to-back world champs. So, to me, it was, you know, Michael, without question, the leadership, the heartbeat. But, you know, for lack of a better phrase, I know Jerry said this about Zeke, but Emmitt was the straw that stirred the drink. He certainly did everything. And then, you know, him and the relationship he had with Darryl Johnston,
mm-hmm.
was beautiful to me as well.
Usually running backs get slowed up by a fullback that's in his way with indecision. It was really a great marriage between Moose and Emmitt and the way that they were able to operate together, that there was never any hesitation. Away, Moose knew where he needed to go. Emmitt knew how to cut. If he saw the way that Darryl was setting up a block, he would be able to cut off that block. It was really it was special to watch them play. Like I said before, man, there was a lot of days where you know, I went home unhappy, you know, being on the other side of the field. But what an incredible player he was for the longevity. I don't think you'll ever see longevity like that again.
Was he the best triplet overall as a football player if you were grading him?
Well, he was the hardest one to deal with when you start to talk about, you know, Troy was – you went into every game trying to take one of them out of the game. And if you had success, then the other two would wear you. I think he, from a standpoint of how he could take over a game, he was the one, I think, that I worried about the absolute most.
All righty. So we have Emmitt Smith coming up at 2:40. We have Lewis Riddick, the former NFC East scout and pro personnel director for Washington and Philadelphia, turned media member. I think he got some interviews this go-around as a front office guy, but he's one of the top analysts in the game for ESPN. He's going to join us. We'll talk about the game coming up at 2:20. Paige Van Sant is an MMA fighter, and she's going to join us at 3 o'clock. I think Hagee's going to sit in on that one.
Yeah, Hagee is. I mean, she was big in the UFC, then moved over to bare-knuckle fighting. Now she's doing slap fighting. Paige is it's crazy. I don't know why in the world she wants to do that and torture herself, but she's got a love for the fight game.
She does, and we'll love talking to her coming up at 3 at 3:20. The great tight end Todd Heap out of Arizona State and the Baltimore Ravens. Talk football with him. I don't know if he goes into that tragedy. You know, it wasn't that well covered in the media, but back in 2017, he was moving his truck in his driveway and killed one of his kids.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So I don't know if that's why he's here to talk about that and the closure that he's seeking or whatever, but we'll have a chat with Todd Heap coming up at 3:20.
Yeah, I'll never forget that story. And you're right. It never became this...
Yeah,
this huge thing that's
just so sad
that is like synonymous with him. I think most people just it wasn't overly publicized, but truly one of the most heartbreaking things that you could ever fathom. I can't even begin to imagine.
3-year-old daughter. So Andrew Zimmer and I know Mike are brought us. You love talking with Andrew.
I do love him.
We'll have a lot.
He can food talk you, and he will tell you the right way to do it. So. Man's been all over the world, sampling food, trying food. You can ask him any questions about it, and he will give you probably the best answer you're going to get.
Well, the guest I've been most excited to talk to this week is going to join us at 4 o'clock, the World Cup champ with Germany, Champions League with Real Madrid. Sami Khedira is going to join us at 4 o'clock. They are kind of on a tour to raise awareness and start pumping up the World Cup, which will be here in Dallas. And many other U.S. and North American cities coming up in the summer of 2026. And, that kind of sets you up. We also have Lorenzo Neal joining us later on the show.
Oh, man, one of my favorite
fullbacks.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, one of the all-time fullbacks throughout my childhood that I used to just love. I mean, being the lead blocker for LaDainian Tomlinson, an absolute bowling ball of a man, that's going to be exciting.
A lot of the people, and I know, Eric, you hopped on with me during the morning show, and you did your own 820 segment. I would encourage everybody to go back on that Odyssey app, listen to that 820. Everything good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're back to smooth sailing. Just had to rock with the apologies, acknowledge the inappropriate nature, and let her know that I'll be better moving forward.
Did you get down on all fours?
My wife is, I got down and I begged and pleaded with her on all fours.
That's my guy.
And then I ended it with a big howl. And all is well. You got to marry a forgiving wife. That's a very important thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Because we're gonna err as men many times. Which
remind us of. You're gonna get called out. It's just the nature of the beast. So you just own it and you pray that she just kind of moves on. And shout out to my wife. She's a beast.
Well, I'm glad you guys are back in harmony because that was freaking hilarious, you know. And
that's where I want to get to. I want to get to being able to appreciate the hilarity.
Yeah.
But right now.
I felt bad last night.
Right now.
Because I couldn't stop laughing on our walk home.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
It was funny. I could recognize you were in distress.
I was in distress.
The moments from the show yesterday were unbelievable. The Mavericks were aggressive in exploring pathways to acquire Kevin Durant, reports Ian Begley. And he is on TV right now talking about it. We'd seen that multiple teams were calling with aggressive calls in for Kevin Durant. That was the report from Shams around lunchtime today.
Yeah.
But, you know, that wouldn't come together. I think Kevin Durant just doesn't want to be moved midseason, quite disruptive. You know, he'd made plans to be in Phoenix, wanted to stay there, and they respected those wishes. So you do have that. The Suns did trade Yusuf Nurkic in a 2026 first-rounder to the Hornets for Cody Martin and a few other players. You have the Hawks moving Texas Tech's DeAndre Hunter, who's having a great year. He's going to the Cavaliers for Caris LeVert, and 3 second-rounders, and another player. The 27-year-old averaging highs in points, 19, and three-point percentage, 39.3. You know, a decent defender. Maybe should be better considering his size and his athleticism. But, you know, that's one of those moves for Cleveland. I think you're always trying to figure out how do we make up for the fact that our backcourt isn't that big. You know, we don't have great length there with Donovan Mitchell, although he had a hell of a dunk last night. So, you know, that's kind of where we're at. I don't see anything else coming through these late trickling reports in. Do you guys see anything else from the NBA?
Nothing major. Marcus Smart, local guy, on the move. That was the last one I saw going to Washington. So Memphis punting
on
him.
Yeah,
ouchie. I'm sorry, Marcus Smart.
What a decline over the last couple of years.
Maybe that would be a potential buyout scenario.
Could be.
And then that's a great defensive player.
More of a contender. I don't know.
Bring him home.
I don't think he wouldn't help you playmaking much, but he's one heck of a defensive player.
Absolutely.
And that matches what the Mavs want. I mean, I guess if you want to try to hold teams under 95 points, go get Marcus Smart as well. Didn't he win DPOY a couple years ago?
Yeah, absolutely he did. No one believes in the phrase defense wins championships more than our guys.
Did Nico just want to be like the Pistons?
Bad boys.
Like early 2000s? Or even the ones that like knocked off the Lakers?
Maybe.
Yeah. Billups and Wallace. Yeah. And Wallace.
Maybe he has Joe Dumars in his ear.
Hamilton.
You know, it's a good team there with Luka, but what you got to try to do is keep teams in the 80s like we did back in the day. You know, that's the key to winning this
thing. You ever watch those old highlights when, like, Reggie Miller and those guys played, and the final was 92 to 86, and everybody was, like, talking.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good offensive night for us.
They're dumping it into the paint, having a big man try awkward up and unders because analytics hadn't been invented yet, and they thought it was still, we got to get closer, get your big man down there, post him up. Yeah, that's why I don't agree that the league is in a bad place with the product right now. Aesthetically, I think it's a lot better. You get a lot more points.
Well, Ian Begley, I've just seen a video circulating. He does.
I'm going to be honest, this is the first time I've heard Ian Begley's name.
Well,
ever.
I mean, he's 135,000 followers. Oh. Yeah, he covers the NBA, covers the Knicks, the Nets, and he is saying that the Mavericks are making a last-minute push to acquire Kevin Durant. So I don't know if it's going to end up happening, but I do believe that up until the deadline here, Nico is going to do everything he can to get KD in a Mavericks jersey.
So the deadline is over now, right?
Yeah, 2 o'clock.
Yeah, so, but sometimes we get these things announced.
Yeah, sometimes we had the deal got in, but they haven't announced it
yet. I don't think it's going to happen, but
I don't think
you never know.
That would be something. You know, I think if you do have Kevin Durant dreams, maybe this offseason, it could make some sense. But I would be really disappointed if I was at the Mavs HQ right now trying to get ready to head down the stretch. They're going to be a playoff team, maybe just a play-in team. But I think they'll end up with 47 wins or so. And you have to feel like, you know, we're going into a gunfight with some BB guns right now, you know, with the lack
offensively,
of
right?
offensive firepower.
Yeah, offensively, you have to feel that way.
But, heck, you know, maybe they have good reason to believe that the exact thing that this league needs right now is three bigs and five wings that can defend their balls off, you know, and just one guy to handle it and try to set people up for either layups or threes.
This might be teams going back to just running the football now, right? We had some of those days where, you know, all of a sudden, like, you're going to get a little small, a little light. Let's get real big and just zig when they zag. What do you say?
Yeah,
Chief, you into that?
I think it would be different if you were talking about a rushing touchdown in the NFL counting, you know, if a rushing touchdown.
Oh, no, we're going to beat you up, man. That's what we're going to do. We're just going to beat you up.
Yeah, but still, the three ball is something that it counts for more.
Sure,
so
it does.
It's not like you're able to, you can't take that fact away. So, like in football, a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown equal the same points. So what does it matter? In the NBA, I can get more points by shooting the three. So you can't go away from that.
All righty, we're off and running here. Day four of our Radio Row coverage in New Orleans. Lewis Riddick is going to join us and analyze this game and tell us how good he thinks the Cowboys roster is. And he'll join us next right here at the G-Bag Nation.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Think warm, think palm trees, think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Fam. All right, and welcome back. The voice you hear right there is Lewis Riddick, who's set to join us here in the G-Bag Nation on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan, ESPN analyst, top of his game, former NFL safety, 91-98, former NFL scout and executive working in Washington and Philly as the director of player personnel and other roles. Lewis Riddick with you on The Fan now, and a good afternoon, sir. Yeah. How the heck are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. You guys hear me okay?
We got you.
Yeah, it sounds a little weird in my headset. But, yeah, you know what? I'm doing good, man. I'm happy to be here.
How much better is the rest of the Eagles roster after quarterback?
Better than who?
The Chiefs.
Better than the Chiefs. You know what? See, I know people want to say that there's this huge discrepancy between the two and that the difference is Andy and Patrick. But, listen, look, the Eagles are strong. Their offensive line is one of the best in football. And you see, look, these guys are powerful. They're athletic. They play together. The running back position, obviously, is one where they have a clean sweep there. The wide receivers, they have great complements. The tight end is strong after the catch. You know, the defensive line is just ridiculous. Jalen Carter is like an Aaron Donald / Chris Jones type. He's a closer. Nolan Smith has become a great player. Milton Williams is a good player. Linebacker, I mean, Zach has been one of those, like, revelations. Yeah. I mean, what more can you say there? Quinyon Mitchell's been a stud. Cooper's been a stud. So, yeah, they're good players. But if you went through the same exercise with Kansas City, look, obviously Joe Tooney moving to left tackle has kind of, like, weakened that unit some. The right tackle position has been a little bit of an issue. Creed Humphrey, though, is still a stud. Trey Smith is still a stud. Travis is still Travis. And you know what the cool thing about them? They're playing their best football right now. So with Hollywood coming back and being healthy, and you saw how Patrick tried to get him the ball in the championship game, that's huge. Xavier broke out just at the right time against Buffalo. That's huge. Getting Isaiah back is huge. You know, defensively, Chris is a stud. Karloftis is a stud. Nick Bolton's a stud. Chenault's a stud. Drew Tranquil was one of their best free agent signings that they've ever had there. They got a bunch of young guys in the secondary. You may give the Eagles a slight advantage, but this is not some wide gap that Patrick has to fill in. You don't win games like they've done because it's just all Patrick and Andy. You just don't do that. Brian, you know that.
Yeah.
You know they're good enough.
What about the difference in coaching? Andy Reid, Sirianni, then you got Spagnuolo, Dick Fangio.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a ton of respect for Vic. They coach in different ways. They have different philosophies. Vic likes to play it top down. He likes to say, hey, look, over 13, 14, 15 plays, you're going to make a mistake because we're not going to give you one.
Right.
You're going to have to string together five, six first downs, and at some point in time, you're going to mess it up. Mm-hmm. At some point in time, our defensive lineman is going to knock the ball off of you, or we're going to punch it out or something. Spags is kind of like, hey, look, we'll play a little bit of too high. We'll play some, but you know what we really want to do? We want to get you in second and long and then blitz your brains out. Mm-hmm. Then we want to, like, so it's a little bit more high wire for him, but that's what makes it great. There's a bunch of different ways to kind of skin a cat there. Andy, look, Andy's the dude.
He's the dude.
There is not a better coach in the NFL when it comes to understanding personnel.
Mm.
The guy's a scout at heart.
Yeah.
Remember, he used to run the personnel department in Philly.
Sure did.
There is no one who spends more time talking to his scouts and doing the work himself, saying, watching how defensive backs pedal, watching where defensive backs' eyes are, understanding who the linebacker is that really struggles with play action. He is a nut for that stuff, and you can best believe he knows every single guy's strengths and weaknesses on Philly's defense. I don't know if Nick does that. I don't know if Nick has that same kind of football IQ that Andy does. Obviously, you get, like, I flew down here with a bunch of Philly fans on the flight, and I could hear people talking, like, behind me in first class, and they're going, yeah, but Andy's so damn smart, and we think that's the advantage. Yeah. And they're like, and I'm like sitting there like going, you're right. It is the advantage. Because that's the dude. I mean, he just is, but in 15 kind of cancels out a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so intriguing about this matchup. I mean, what's the line? Plus one now?
One and a half.
That's why it is. I mean, because you're sitting there going, that's what you want in the Super Bowl. This is going to be a last possession game. Mm-hmm. That's what you want.
Louis Riddick with us here on 105.3 The Fan. You smell fantastic, by the way. I don't know what this is.
You know, I think this is Jimmy Choo, man.
Okay.
You know, I'll tell you a funny story. Take 15 seconds. I have a 14-year-old son, and he's a freakazoid basketball player, but the dude has become like this fiend for cologne. I'm like, what is going on? You're 14. He's like, Dad, I know, like, he says all these names. I'm like, I don't even know what the hell they are.
Yeah.
I go in his room, and I'm like, damn, that smells good.
Where'd you
get that from? And he's 14, but anyway, I've always...
Take pride in it.
Maybe that turns out to be a career path.
But you know what?
You never know.
This guy, like, I'm 14, I know he's not listening. He's playing a game right now, but man... Like, his cologne game puts mine to shame. Anyway.
So we were just talking. You've had interviews for front office positions. Obviously, we're the home of the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. That front office is not changing. Mm-hmm. I believe a lot in Will McClay.
Yep.
But having been a part of these interviews, I mean, from the outside looking in, what is it about the Cowboys? Everyone says they beat to their own drum.
Yeah.
But it's just... It hasn't clicked, and they're unwilling to kind of change, and it's been the same thing for 30 years.
Look, Brian can tell you this. Sometimes when you've always been used to doing things a certain way and you keep things very consistent in terms of the people who are ultimately given the decision-maker input, you don't really get different perspective, right? Jerry's probably very used to the people talking to him that talk to him right now that have been talking to him for a long time. And then what winds up happening is you kind of fall into a trap too. Like, you want to make the boss happy. You know, you kind of know where he's leaning. Sometimes you, like, maybe... It alters your own evaluation of a player because, you know, well, the boss doesn't really want him. He probably likes this guy. He would like this guy more. And what happens is you just kind of wind up having this very stale, static way of looking at team building that really doesn't give any other viewpoints. And, look, I think for Dallas, on the defensive side of the ball in particular, right, there's been too many moments where you have seen the deficiencies on that side of the ball when it comes to teams who ultimately can just line up and bully you. That has been an issue for them for years now. And so I don't, like, you have to correct that. You have to get that corrected. You have to be able to make sure, like, at one point in time, the Dallas Cowboys that I played against in the early 90s had an offensive line that was like Philly's. That they said, look, we can run three plays against you, and there's nothing you can do. There's nothing. Because, you know what? Here comes Eric Williams. Here comes Mark Stepnoski. Here comes Lally Allen. Here comes, you know, and we're going to run that damn outside zone downhill on that big crown in old Texas Stadium, and here comes Emmett.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that component to their football team anymore. And I think, you know, in December and January football, you have to be able to be that. At some point, it has to be about that. It just does. Think about the Patriots dynasty. At their heart, they were a bully, tough, hard-nosed football team. Have you ever? When's the last time you thought of Dallas as being a bully-like, tough, hard-nosed football team? Philly can play that way. Kansas City can play that way. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid, for as much as he is considered an offensive genius and a play-calling wizard, the dude runs the hardest training camp in all of football.
True.
They knock each other's stuff in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Live periods on the goal line, live short yardage. He wears those guys out. If you ever notice with Kansas City, they usually peak towards the end of the year because he knocks the crap out of them in cramp. And then in the beginning of the season, a lot of times these guys are trying to find their legs for the first quarter of the season. And then as he brings them back and brings them to life, they find a way to still win. And then all of a sudden, now they're here at the Super Bowl. Now they're hitting their stride. They're their strongest right now. Does Dallas do that?
Not in a long time.
Yeah.
Now, hey, weren't you running one of these teams? I mean, you
right,
people,
I don't,
people know
man.
You. You are damn good in the media side.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, folks, he's even better as a personnel man.
Well, it comes out of the media side.
That is a man a lot of people respect. And for the life of me, I never can figure it out.
Look, I'll tell you what. The past two places that I've interviewed, you know what the number one reason why I was told that I wasn't hired is because they're like, well, you haven't been in the league for 10 years, 11 years. And I'm sitting there going, and you know, and my retort to that is this. I know more football now because I've been out of the league than I would have if I was in there. Because I go around the country,
right?
And you know, you're having all these production calls.
Games too.
You know what I mean? And so I get all that intel.
Yeah.
And like I'm literally sitting there talking to coaches now about X's O's in a way that I could never have done if I was in a personnel department. I would never be able to pick the brain of John Harbaugh and then go talk to Jim Harbaugh and then talk to Kyle Shanahan and then talk to Dabo Sweeney and then you know talk to. James Franklin and team building, locker room chemistry, position changes, how you attack. But when you tell people this, it's kind of like the NFL sometimes is a victim of its own groupthink.
Sure.
Right? And there aren't many people who really want to step outside of that comfort zone.
Yeah.
And when search firms get involved and or teams are calling, like the guys who I work with, they're calling Schefter or the late, great Chris Mortensen, who I love to death. Yeah. Like, they listen to that kind of stuff, Brian, instead of really going, does this guy know ball?
That's
could he really build a football team?
I know, that's what I'm
could
saying
he,
about
could
you.
Could he pick a coach?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, but you know what I've done? I've kind of, like, I swear to you, I've kind of made peace with it. Only because it really does affect you when you don't.
It hurts,
when
man.
You don't, like, you like.
It hurts.
Like, my family would tell you. Dad's not fun to be around when this time of year comes up.
I was going to ask you. You know, I hate this time of year.
It's a grind. It's a grind on you mentally and stuff. And I have a great life, right? We make plenty of money. We get to talk to everyone. Yeah. I get to learn a bunch of football, cover the draft, cover the Super Bowl, call big-time college games. But if I never do it, I will say it will always bother me.
Yeah,
It will always bother me. Could I have done that?
What if?
Yeah.
Could I have done that?
Yeah.
And you know what? That sucks, to be honest with you, but it is what it is.
Well, you are killing it on TV.
Yeah.
And we think we don't want to give you PTSD, but Emmett's about to walk up, actually.
How about I saw him earlier, man. How about that dude, man?
Yeah.
I met Emmett when I was a sophomore in college. The Fiesta Bowl used to have this underclass, and they called it the Samaritan All-American team. You know, guys who were great off the field, blah, blah, blah. So I met him down in Phoenix when we were sophomores. Emmett and I were on the same USA Today High School All-American team. He was the player of the year.
Sweet.
Galen Hall tried to recruit me to Florida, and I said, Galen wanted me to play running back.
Not enough.
And you know what he said? He was like, he goes, I think you can play running back for us. I said, well, who else are you recruiting? He goes, well, this is a Smith guy from Escambia down in Pensacola. I'm like, you think I'm stupid? I know who that guy is. You think I'm going to come down there and play running back when you're recruiting this dude?
Great story, Lewis. Yeah. We got to run. So do you. Thank you so much. Congrats on all your success.
Of course. Thanks a lot for having me.
There
Thank
he
you.
Goes.
Appreciate
the great
it.
Lewis Riddick, ESPN, with you here in the G-Bag Nation. Let's get this G-Bag of the day in before Emmett Smith walks up on the fan.
Oh,
here's Lucius.
Shoot, man.
Sorry.
Hey, no, that's pretty good, bro, right there. That was
fantastic.
I thought y'all was going to take it to break. I was like, hey, I'm chill. Listen to this.
Yeah. It was good.
Yeah, it was. Really, really good. All right, let's see here. Broadus, you are a winner. This is day four for you. For those that are not listening, Broadus was talking about sleeping bags and sporting goods stores. And I don't know why I looked at the camera. I was like, who am I talking to?
I'm here.
Let's listen to Broadus.
I would have gone and bought a sleeping bag from like Dick's or one of those sporting goods stores and just said, here, listen, just get in that. If you're getting cold, you know.
Zip it up.
Zip it up. Bag. Yeah. Yeah, I can't. I just can't be sick, you know.
Well, speaking of Dixon Sports, big L to okay. all of us. We lost.
I knew you were going to do something with that.
Well, we lost.
I was thinking of another sporting goods store, and I couldn't think of another name, like Oshman's or something like
Sports
that.
Sports Authority Academy. Sports,
I couldn't, yeah. And it Dix immediately came into my mind. Pause.
Damn.
There's no pause in that, bro. It'll live in infamy.
The rare triple pause. Oof, that you hit never.
It gets worse every day, Lucius.
It really does.
Doesn't get any better. Every day, Lucius.
It really does, sir. I hear
I'm
it.
Sorry, man.
I hear it. I hear it. Yeah. Okay, this. I had this one for Friday, but what you drinking and what you thinking kind of got pushed along, which was cool because it was a vibe. So I have this right here for you. UPS worker crashes out on his boss because he got fired at the end of his shift instead of the beginning. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Getting fired from the UPS store by this cuck loser, coward, cuck loser, won't even fire me at the beginning of my shift. Wait till the end of my shift. Here he is, Darren the cuck loser from 1892, the loser who doesn't know shit about running a business and is going to let an alcoholic fat named Joe fire somebody with 10 years of experience because he complained that Joe won't train my co-workers and Joe puts on the radio and Joe drinks next door and won't tell to my co-workers because he's a cuck loser coward just like Darren the cuck loser coward loser.
Wow, that might beat me.
Yeah,
man,
that's good.
That one might get me.
I just can't imagine how that guy's not a model employee, you know?
Employee of the month.
Dawson sent the email like that one time when he quit. I think it was verbatim, actually.
It did, man.
Yeah.
Still got to look over my shoulder when I'm back in Portland over that one.
You got to look over your shoulder anytime in Portland. My God. Yeah. My timeline. Hey, Odyssey is doing a giveaway, so let me get this out the way right here because I think it's very important for the listeners of Tolos to know. Make sure you get that hour of fan listening in today on the Odyssey app because you will be entered to win the Odyssey National Contest for you and three of your friends to go to Vegas to watch the college basketball championships. That's airfare, and you'll be staying at the Circa Resort Casino, Las Vegas's premium sports viewing destination and home of Stadium Swim. Y'all heard of Stadium Swim?
Have not.
Joe, my friend. My friend sent me a photo of him at Stadium Swim. He watched the bowl games out there.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. Y'all look that up.
Stadium Swim.
Yeah.
Yeah, look it up.
Yeah. Here's the big part, too. Plus, you'll be going with $20,000 to spend.
Holy cow. Get
that hour of listening in on the Odyssey app for your entry to win our Slam Dunk Odyssey National Contest, people.
Listen up.
Yeah. Okay. Alex Stein went to the Dallas City Hall for a city council meeting, and he was ranting about the Luka trade.
It is obviously an inside job when you give your best player to another team for zero draft picks, one first-round draft pick in 2029. We're not even going to have a team in 2029. So I just want to say we have to investigate Nico. I'm sick and tired of it, so I wrote a song. I wrote this song. Nico, you stabbed us in the back. Nico, you also freaking whack. Mavericks, please don't leave our town. I don't give a damn if our new center is brown. I like the white guy. Why do you have to go? These damn basketball players don't freaking know. The whole league is a work. This is a freaking jerk named Nico Harrison, who is the manager. He needs to freaking go. Nico is a hoe. I love the Dallas Mavericks, and I wish we still had Dirk. Nico Harrison sucks. He is a stupid jerk. So, Mayor, don't let him move us. Don't let him move the Mavericks! I love the Mavericks! Nico Harrison, you suck, dude! I know you watch this, Nico! If I see you in the streets, it's freaking on side, Pam! We're gonna be yelling and screaming right in your face!
Right in your face!
Thank you.
Thank you. Good use of his time.
Is it Alex Stein? Is it UPS worker crashing out after getting fired at the end of the shift? Or is it Broadus? You know my vote stays with Broadus. Chief, how about you?
Samesies.
Lucius?
Man, I feel bad for the mayor and the city manager and everybody just sitting up there looking at this dude. He went on for like 2 minutes and 30-some-odd seconds all of his time. Only got that little clip. My gosh, good for them for being professional. I'm going to war with Broadus.
Yeah, I feel like we were watching a mental breakdown there.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
That's your boy, Alex Stein, Broadus.
I know. Yeah.
That's your boy, man.
I'm about to vote for him.
Yeah. Cool, Chuck.
All right. Well, I'll give a vote to the fired dude then.
Okay. Broadus for the UPS by a score of 3-1-1. Still, your G-Bag of the Day champion. It's Brian. Okay, coming up next, the NFL's all-time leading rusher. Joins us here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan Live in New Orleans Radio Row. Emmett Smith is about a minute or two away. Okay, just heard from his handler, booker, scheduler, and said a couple of minutes behind. Obviously in high demand, and there is just a mob of people following Deuce wherever he goes, so they might be moving slowly. He'll be here soon. It's a big night for one of his former teammates, Darren Woodson, about to find out if he's elected into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Says, I just feel like my body of work probably deserves to be in. It's not up to me. It's up to the writers. If I should be in or I should not be in. What do you think, Brian? Does he get in tonight? Wolchuk? Should you follow?
Man, I'm super hopeful. I'm super hopeful. It was great to see him this morning when he sat down with Sean and RJ, just as electric and kind as ever. But I don't know. I don't know. It's not something that I've been able to understand this entire time, so I can't get my expectations too high for
it. I don't know how you can't have the all-time tackles leader in Dallas Cowboys history in the Hall of Fame.
Or not in the Hall of Fame.
You're not in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Right, yeah, thank you. It'd be a crime. I think he's going to end up having to go the Drew Pearson route where they keep him out, and he's going to have to be a senior committee guy, and it's a shame. I mean, look, it's no disrespect to some of these other safeties, but how in the world is Steve Atwater in the Hall of Fame, and Darren Woodson is not? Like every other, I mean, you're talking about a guy who was a slot corner sliding into that before slot corners were a thing, and he's a safety. Mm-hmm. You know, that he was able to do special things that were really ahead of his time, and for whatever reason, the National Football League Hall of Fame voters are not, I don't think, going to give him the benefit of the vote this year, which is a shame.
How clear cut do you think it is, Brian, that he should be in?
I was with Leroy Butler. And I was with Darren Woodson, and Leroy Butler's in the Hall of Fame. Darren Woodson's a better football player, you know. John Lynch, guys like that. There's, you know, we had a run of some really, really great safeties. Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu, you know, guys like that. They were Darren Woodson. He's in that group. Doesn't take long to call the roll, you know, with that crew. And my favorite football player to ever be around or watch play. And you know, it's. I think it's he takes it far better than I do. Darren and I, and we have a relationship, and I remember being in Phoenix, and you know, remember that we were waiting for the plane to come home, and he and his wife, I was talking with her, and we were mad. I mean, we were going at, and he's like, "You two need to calm down, just calm down. You know, it'll happen. You know." And I'm like, you know, BS, Woody, you know, you know, and I was just dropping F-bombs and all that and in the middle of that airport terminal. But, you know, I believed it with my heart. How could these other guys be in? And I've talked to Hall of Fame voters, and I've said, you guys need to understand this about this player, and tried to explain to him about Darren Woodson. And when you start to think about voting against him, just think of the guys that you've already put in the Hall of Fame. No disrespect to Leroy Butler. But he ain't the player that Darren Woodson was.
Do you think the Hall of Fame needs to expand its, you know, selections to add? Because there's, I mean, it's not just Woody. There's going to be a number of great wide receivers that don't get in.
Yeah.
Because the numbers crunch, you know, and they're really picking from a group of like 20 guys who should be Hall of Famers.
I think they're trying to make it a very select group.
Which it should be. But you just have to have a better barometer for who is the most deserving, and you can't have all these different biases.
There's been some guys that have been in. I always fight against, like, Bob Greasy. You know, Bob Greasy, if you look at the Dolphins and, you know, Hall of Famers and all that, Bob Greasy was just a pretty good quarterback. Bob Greasy wasn't great. He's in the Hall of Fame. You know, so there are some wrongs in the Hall of Fame that guys like Rick Goslin, you know, who's a voter who is trying to correct some of the wrongs of guys that have been passed over. Rick Goslin from Detroit, Michigan, working hard for Bob Hayes, Rayfield Wright, Dallas Cowboys guys that he knew were pillars of the National Football League, that without his, you know, his push, you know, wouldn't never get a shot.
All righty, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. Woody just down the way from us right now. Emmett Smith will be arriving any time now. The NBA trade deadline came and went. If you're just jumping in your truck, you know, we kind of updated it at the top of the hour. But basically what happened is the Suns were taking multiple phone calls for Kevin Durant. Ultimately, he decided he did not want to be traded in season. So maybe the Mavs can take a look at it in the offseason. The Suns did make a move of trading Nurkic to the Charlotte Hornets. The Hawks trading DeAndre Hunter. But, you know, the biggest thing that happened over the last 24 hours for the Mavs is the Lakers trade for a center using the first-round pick the Mavericks should have had. And I know that is like salt in the wounds right now. Brian Windhorst saying the Lakers wanted to ask Luka, can we sign you to an extension after we trade for you? And the Mavericks said no. And after they said no, Rob Pelinka said, well, if you won't let us talk to Luka first, then we're taking away one of the first-round picks.
Right.
And today, one of those first-round picks, you know, gets them a center. We'll see how good he can be. Bassick was saying better than Daniel Gafford. I think the skill set may be better than Daniel Gafford, the lob ability better. From what I could tell, he was in New Orleans. Effort, consistency of effort was an issue. Like maybe who was the big guy, Christian Wood, that we had a couple of years ago? Like super-duper talented, can put 30 and 20 up, and then the next night have 2 points and zero rebounds.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe getting in L.A. or getting around LeBron and Luka will bring out the most in him. But, I mean, that's just, you know, it really stings. Like, if you're Nico on the other end of that phone call, why don't you just say, well, then we don't want to do the deal. You know, we have Luka. We have the thing, right? We have the straw that's going to stir the drink.
But he lost the leverage as soon as he was the one that went on the offense to start the trade.
Yeah.
As soon as you pick up the phone to say, I want to get rid of the 25-year-old super beast who's an MVP candidate and just took us to the NBA Finals, there's immediate red flags that come up. And then for Pelinka, I mean, kudos to him. It's like, if you're not going to let me talk to him and get the reassurance that I am going to get the extension done with him and he's going to be a Laker, not for a year and a half, but for the next 4 or 5 years, you know, then I can't commit to giving you everything I want. Now,
but if you're Nico, are you thinking there's really no chance Luka doesn't sign this deal? I mean, Luka's going to re-sign with the Lakers.
See, I mean, even Windhorst has hinted around, and maybe it ends up being a no-brainer, but I don't know that Luka is going to necessarily jump into that this summer. He might play it out and create his own opportunity to really decide, and maybe it ends up the summer after where he just says, yeah, I still want to remain with the Lakers, but maybe he wants to go team up with his best friend, Jokic. Maybe he wants to, I mean, who knows where he wants to go. He did talk about the water, being in L.A. He's like, I love the water. That's really important to me. Mm. So, like, you can kind of piece together where else maybe he would be interested in going. But who knows? Who knows what he's going to want to do? This was the ultimate cutthroat business thing that just happened to him. And now he might say, I want to make sure that I'm the one in control of everything I'm doing. And I won't re-up. I mean, take a page out of LeBron's book. LeBron's been doing, like, 1 year and then a player option with the Lakers for the last few years. Keep your options open. So,
I mean, the Mavs traded for Kyrie without an assurance. They traded for Porzingis without an assurance. You know, I think that would, if I'm Nico, I'm like, well, that's up to you.
Totally. Know? Now, that's fair to say.
I think on the other side of it, like, that would be the trigger to, okay, I guess I have to risk on our end opening this thing up for negotiations. But I think it really drives home the point of how worried the Mavs were of more dirty laundry being aired if they got this, you know, whipping around the league and teams turning them down. I don't know. Maybe there is something they know about Luka that nobody else does.
Right.
You know?
And they're just their undenying love of another friend of Nico's and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I think that was the big thing. Like, Rob Pelinka probably knew in talking with Nico, Anthony Davis was the prize in which he wanted. And that's why he felt, yeah, well, all right, if I can't do this X, Y, Z, then this isn't going to be part of the deal. Because Nico wasn't going to pivot to anybody. He wanted to make sure he got Anthony Davis.
Here comes Emmett.
Oh, all right. My goodness.
Look at this, boys. It's happening.
This is...
dreams are coming true in real time.
Zach Wolchuk's favorite player in all sports of all time. The NFL's all-time leading rusher. Three-time Super Bowl champion, NFL MVP, Super Bowl MVP, the Hall of Famer, Emmitt Smith, putting his headset on now and joins us here on your home of the Cowboys. And a good afternoon, sir. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine.
I mean, you look like you're having a lot of fun right now. How's your New Orleans trip going?
Shoot, why not have fun, man? You down here?
Yeah.
We shooting?
Shooting? We can shoot if y'all want
Let's
to.
Let's go. Oh,
it would be an honor.
A drink with the goat? Hey,
are
you kidding me?
Give me the. They want a drink.
Yeah, we want to drink.
Oh, yeah. I don't make people drink. They want to drink.
No, this a is drink with Emmett. How
a lifelong
awesome is
dream
that,
coming
Zach?
Through. Absolutely.
Why
man.
Not?
And a beautiful bottle of the Herradura tequila there on our table, our broadcast position. Emmett, as you're pouring this drink for these guys, you are making just an absolute dream come true for our guy Wolchuk over here, by the
really?
Way.
Really?
Yeah. So I got to talk with you with Chris Arnold. It was a phone interview a few years ago.
Yeah.
And CA sold me out as being an Emmitt Smith stan, without question. You're my hero. My favorite cowboy of all
Not
time.
Not hero.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. I do got to ask, though.
Daniel Boone is a hero.
Well, sports hero.
Shoot.
Sports hero.
Okay.
But what's up with the Genty clips that I'm seeing around Radio Row? You don't want Genty with the Cowboys?
First of all, I never said I don't want him.
Okay.
Let's make that very clear. I never said I don't want him. I think he's a very talented individual. I just don't know if the Cowboys are ready for him.
Okay.
Because there is no commitment to running a rock. If there was a commitment to running the rock, then the Cowboys would be talking about upgrading the offensive line. Mm-hmm. They'd be talking about an offensive system that we don't even know what kind of system we're going to have right now. So let's get that clear. It's not that I don't want Genty. Quit trying to get all this damn clickbait
right. And
tell the daggone truth of what I said. And the truth is the kid is very talented. I'm just not sure if the team is ready for him.
Okay.
Would you That's talk, all.
So it, the offensive line needs to be built first?
Or – do you know what kind of system we're going to run offensively?
I don't think any of us know.
So what the hell, why are we talking about it? I mean, what is Schottenheimer thinking?
Yeah.
What is the Cowboys thinking? My phone dropped on the backside over here, but that's okay. It's right here. I got it.
Oh, you got it.
Anyway, so it's like we don't even know what kind of system. We don't even know if he fits in a system. And what I hate to have happen is for us to make this illusion that Schottenheimer is going to have this great offense. Mm-hmm. That don't even fit none of the players that we currently have, let alone one he drafts. And so until we understand what the offense is going to look like, what the commitment is to running the game, running the football, because we saw we can run the football. When Dak went down, Cooper Rush passing attempts went from wherever Dak was down to a reasonable number, and more carries went to Rico Dowdle and Zeke Elliott and maybe even Dalvin Cook. So the three of them. And so they carried the load. They offset what Dak would normally throw, which also says to me, Dak should have never been throwing that many passes in the first place.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
So what are we talking about? The reality of the fact is, until we understand what Schottenheimer is going to run and how he's going to run it, I don't know if Genty is the right draft choice. And if he was the right draft choice, do we have enough talent to do what we want to do offensively? And do we have the current players, infrastructure-wise, to fit in the offensive system that he wants to run? If we don't, we got to go get it. And if we got to go get it, is it better to get Gentry or is it better to trade away the pick to get more picks to build a team to get you back to where you need to be at quicker?
Yeah. There you go.
You need to get that fourth-round
so
pick back at least.
I understand the game of football.
Yeah,
I understand what's going on. I see what's going on. And I just ask the questions that other people don't want to ask or they don't even think about.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it when you legends keep this team accountable. After the Green Bay game, you had a heck of a
run. Bro, they kept me accountable. I had to be accountable for my job. I had to be accountable for the carries. I had to be accountable for the football if I laid it on the ground. I had to take responsibility for when I failed. If I gave up a sack, I had to take responsibility for that. Everyone else has to be accountable, too, in life. And if no one is there making you accountable, then you're going to do what you want to do and act like it's the right thing and just try to sweep stuff under the rug. No, it doesn't work like that.
Is that the biggest issue with this organization is you can't keep an owner accountable?
Well, I said it earlier. When have you heard millionaires tell a billionaire what to do? He's a billionaire because he knows what to do in terms of making money. Making money, he knows what to do. But when it comes down to and there's a distinct difference between having a vision that's aligned with the mission. And the mission defines what and reaffirms what the vision looks like. That happened in 89. It was very clear in 89. It was very clear that he could not go 1-15 again, so somebody needed to get that better. So in 90, things started to change. But it wasn't changing fast enough or right enough for the talent that was on that squad. That talent was held back. Mm. That's one reason why you see the Washington Commanders jump back so quick. They had great talent, poor coaching. It wasn't the fact that the talent wasn't there. It's amazing how one kid can come in and make everybody a believer. Baker Mayfield did it down in Tampa Bay. It wasn't always this. And sometimes you got to question coaching. And it ain't all about the players, because if your system is not suitable for the players, then you're going to get limited capability. We got limited capability in 7-9 in my rookie year. Better than 1-15. Could have been better. Jimmy fired offensive coordinator. Brings in North Turner. This is my story, and I'm sticking to it. And I got facts to prove it up.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
At the end of the day, facts speaks a lot louder than anything anybody mouth can run. Jimmy brings in North Turner. We go 11-5, make the playoff. Yep. Win our first playoff game in Jerry's history. Jerry's history. We get knocked off, but everybody coming back, oh, we're going to be better next year. Next year, it comes around 92, rolls around 92, 90, 91, 92 season. We go right to the playoff, go right to the NFC Championship game, and find ourselves playing San Francisco, and we win the game, and we're in the Super Bowl under that offense. And there was a system that was suitable, that maximized everybody's talent, offensively and defensively and special teams-wise. Mm-hmm. Hence, that's why you win 3 out of 4 Super Bowls.
Can Jerry get us back to the glory hole? What's the confidence?
If he goes back to the blueprint that established what the team was when he first bought the team, now it makes some sense to have Ashton Gentry.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't make sense right now.
I'll tell you what makes sense. Us taking a shot of tequila Herradura with the goat. Delicious.
And I'm sober. True. And I'm sober.
Hey. No, but you've got the passion and the fire.
Oh, I got the passion and the fire. That has never left. But what I don't want people to do is get the wool pulled over their eyes, because we could talk one thing but do other things. But when you're doing other things, you need to call out what those other things are. So there's validation for where we're going. Yep. And there's validation for what we got. When they fired David Shula in 90 and they brought North Turner in, people were probably like, man, we just went 7-9. Why are you firing him? They probably asked the question. Well, Jimmy saw that we could be better.
Yeah.
And we could be better quicker. Because you got to remember, in 90, the first 6 ball games, they didn't really give me the football. They really didn't. They just hodgepodge me here. I was getting 11 carries, 12 carries, 9 carries. I was getting some bull junk.
What's the sweet spot?
Some that they would run in Miami. And I was a back out of the SEC that I got better the more carries I got.
That's right.
And so Jimmy believed that, okay, I know what I got now. I'm going to test this thing out. Brought Norv in, and when Norv left, guess what Norv told the next offensive coordinator? He said, how many carries can I give him? Know what Norv told him? He'll tell you when he's tired. He's not tapping out.
Yeah.
He's going to tell you when he's tired. He'll tell you when he needs a break. And he just let me do what I did.
Yeah.
Because they knew what they had. And so when you're building something, you're building it on a foundation, either sheetrock, or you're building on a foundation of concrete. And right now, for the last 30 years, it's been a whole lot of sheetrock trying to bear the weight of the 3 Super Bowls that we won.
That's right. And Jerry's still resting on it. It's the Hall of Famer Emmitt Smith in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3. The Fan is down the hatch. They go. An epic toast here.
I'm going to drink after that conversation.
Just that was good. Man, it's amazing. Now, former teammate of yours, Darren Woodson, big night for him.
Yeah.
Does he deserve to be in?
Hell yeah. Him, Eric Williams, some more players need to get in there. I mean, seriously. I mean, how can you have the all-time leading rush in the Hall of Fame and one offensive lineman?
Anti-Cowboy bias over there.
How can you have the great defense that we have and two defensive players. Prime was coming in no matter what. I don't care if he was with the Cowboys, 49ers, or the Atlanta Falcons. He was coming in because he's prime time. But Charles Haley? Darren Wilson? Come on, man. You going to wait for Jason Witten to come up? And then you going to argue about Jason Witten? Come on. I mean, yeah, Darren Wilson deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. And it's a crying shame if he's not. I mean, it's at the point right now to when I see who gets in, I might not go to another Hall of Fame game.
Mm. Well, there you go.
Seriously. Mm. I mean, because it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Our Cowboy team was too great of a football team. I ain't trying to wait for no Tom Brady. I ain't trying to wait for nobody. He deserved to be in there today. Just like this head of door right now deserved to be drank by all of us.
That's right. Still
drink
nice.
To that.
That's what we're doing.
Drink to that.
With the greatest of all time.
What allowed you to be so great, if you could explain? What allowed you to carry the ball with one hand through contact and have the vision in the cuts? Can you put it in words?
I could not put the ball in my right hand.
Okay.
They tried everything. Coaches got on me left and right. I could not do it, and they just left me alone. Because the most important thing is ball security anyway. Mm-hmm. And you trying to get me to do something that I'm not comfortable with, and you running the risk of me letting the ball down. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Now, what made – it was a two-part question.
Yeah.
The last part about the ball in the left hand.
Yeah, mm-hmm. What made you great? Like, what was it? You know, because the scouts didn't always see it as you're progressing through the levels.
Well, it's not about what they saw. They saw something. Some things you can't put your fingers on. Jimmy saw something that my running back coach didn't even see. My running back coach saw two players that Jimmy was going to select from. One was a guy by the name of Anthony Thompson.
Yeah,
At Indiana.
Yeah.
And myself. Yeah. Anthony Thompson was a bigger back, and he scored a lot of touchdowns. Yeah. The other one was a smaller back from Pensacola, Florida, at the University of Florida. Not big as Anthony, but scored touchdowns and had big games in one of the toughest conferences in all of football at the time. Even though he can debate it about Miami, how good they were, which they were very good. But we were in a conference that week in and week out, we had to go up against very tough competition that was just – there were a lot of first-round draft choices coming out of the SEC.
Yeah.
So when Jimmy saw those two, he was like, you know what, Coach? I know he scores a lot of touchdowns. He's big. But this kid from Florida, I ain't seen nobody catching from behind.
Never.
I'm going with a football player.
Yeah.
Not a statistical player.
Yeah. That's true.
Two different things.
True. Mm-hmm.
Two different dynamics. Yeah. Analyzation of the overall picture.
Yeah.
The arching things. Think about this. I'm going to flip it. Tequila.
Yeah.
Blue agave out of a region that produces great blue agaves. No preservative, no additives, but a process that has a fermentation process that concludes and brings out a cristallino that looks so good it's pure.
Yeah.
We got to bring it down a notch so we can have it shipped over here in America and people can drink it on a normal basis. No additives whatsoever. It is great, just as is, and has all of the flavor. You can't see those things if you don't know those things.
That's true.
And at the end of the day, when you talk about a player like me, and you ask what made me who I was already prepackaged. What made me better was the people that supported me and believed in the prepackage and helped bring out the best in the prepackage. And believed in the prepackage because I demonstrated a consistency that afforded them to believe in the prepackage and the durability of it all by my surrounding players that challenged me, whether it's workouts and learning and teaching and growing and fighting for my teammates. They all made me better. And I think I would like to think that we all made each other better.
So you could say like Herradura is the Emmitt Smith of tequilas?
You damn right.
There we go.
This is the best. Right. That's why we got legends in here too. I mean, period. And so to me, you know, it's pretty simple from the lens which I see things. I see people that way. I see life that way. I see business that way because of what I've been afforded to see and grow through and understand and evaluate like I've been taught. Every football game, you evaluate games, whether you win or lose. Mm-hmm. I've learned a hell of a lot more from losing than I have from winning. Because winning, you gloss over things. Losing makes you go into the details. When a person passed away, that's why they have an autopsy, right? Mm-hmm. The autopsy is there to say, okay, how did this person die? And it takes a specialist to go through it all. A specialist to go through it all because he or she has been trained to look for things that we don't ordinarily look at with the naked eye. That specialist finds out what happened. It could be natural causes. It could be whatever it may be. That specialist does that. We evaluate things the same way, football-wise, business-wise, you got even personal self-wise. You have to take a step back and look at oneself and say, okay, what am I doing wrong here? Why am I getting the same results while I'm doing the same thing? Something has to change. Either you or the overall system has to change.
I love it. The great Hall of Famer Emmitt Smith here with you on your home of the Cowboys. Enjoy the rest of your week, sir. Thank you so much.
And hey, drink responsibly. I'm not taking this with me. I'm leaving this with
you. Oh, that's Russ.
Let's
You're the
go.
Man.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you,
Leaving
Emmitt.
With gifts as well. Salute to Emmitt Smith, the great 22 here with you in the G-Bag Nation on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. That was incredible, wasn't it? I mean, let's look at the text. Let's look at the chat. What do you guys have to say about Emmitt Smith just on an absolute heater over the last 15 minutes here on 105.3 The Fan? Todd Heap, tight end, Ravens, Arizona State, joins us next right here. It's the G-Bag Nation and The Fan.